Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, get the small violins out. It's Jenny's team selection, game week 37. We're both depressed. It's been an absolutely brutal game week 36, which we will touch on in quite a bit of detail in a second. There's potentially more pain to come if Son goes crazy for us, goes against us later. But how are you feeling, Jenny?
I don't know. I know I should be feeling really beat up. And in a way, I am. But at the same time, I saw the goals going last night for KDB, and I was all right about it. I didn't throw my toys out the pram like I have done in games gone by. And I think because it's the end of the season, and I think because I was fairly happy with my choices this game week, I try to just steer towards, look at your team. We play this game against 9 million other managers. If we do that every week, we're never going to win. So I tried to take a few small wins, and a few of my players I was actually happy with. So I was like, oh, good, look at Reece James. Oh, good, look at Alonso. You know, oh, good, my transfer with Diaz this week. And I sold Foden, that's I'm net up. So I tried to see the positives. And I think that combined with the fact we're right at the end of the season and I'm starting to care less and less, I was all right about it. Also, we have another game tonight where, yeah, Song could punish non-Son owners, but also I'm looking at that as I've got four players playing. I just need one of those to go big, and I get a green. I'm trying to be super positive with it.
I know. I have to say, I'm impressed.
I think because I was drunk last night when all this happened, so I was kind of like I was just having a nice time and was like, "Meh, it's just FPL."
I was recording Black Box while this was all going on, and it was absolute hell. So completely opposite.
Did Mark have KDB? No, Mark hasn't got KDB either, is he?
No, Luke had him, but didn't catch him. Yeah, Mark had Son, so he's hoping for him tonight. Yeah, I mean, that's a lovely one. It's nice when you can look at your team and look at your players and say, okay, Alonso did all right and James went all right and Diaz went all right. I didn't have anyone that did well. And one player with double digits. It's been absolutely
shocking.
Do you
know what really cost us, mate? KDB, obviously, quite clearly, but it was the bench boosters because the bench boosters all had Foster's 14.
And Foster, there was like, Nketiah as well.
Yeah. So those two bench boost players alone, you get 14 from your goalkeeper in a bench boost. Doesn't matter what your other three do. If they get 2, 2, and 2, that's a great bench boost, 20 points. Yeah. You take that. So that's what really cost us, knowing top 10K, what, about a third were on a bench boost? So that was a punisher.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I forgot about Foster. That 0-0.
Yeah, and he's probably on your bench. He's on my bench. I was never going to play him over Ramsdale, but, you know, it just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, me, you had two Everton. No. Did you have Richarlison, right? Do you have any?
No, Evan.
What am I doing? I've got your team. Let's go through your points of Gaming 36. No Everton attackers yet. Ramsdale in goal. Trent with 4. James with 13. Nice assist and goal for him. I didn't think he'd play that game, so that was a bit of a kick for me, but good for you. Alonso with 7. Cancelo with 14. Salah with 6. Luis Diaz with 15. Havertz with 1. Kulusevski with 2. Saka with 2. And Kane with 2. I've got Kane captain, but you were a Salah captain, right?
Yeah, that's why it's on 6, Salah, because he obviously got 3.
Yeah, sorry, let me change that. But
yeah, it was brutal in a way. But yeah, at the same time, I'm like, I kind of got returns from a lot of players. Those that are playing tonight could still return. Yeah, I didn't care about the Salah captaincy. When his EO's 180, it's just like, okay, that's the same for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, what did you make of we're going to talk about your plans and stuff going forward with De Bruyne and things. I mean, you bought in Diaz for Foden. I thought that was a ballsy move considering your love for Foden and, you know, and the fact that Diaz was a bit of a doubt. I guess Foden was a bit as well and missed out in that kind of first game. But you went for it. I mean, 15 points for Diaz. What did Foden get? He must have got about 10 or something.
No, I think fewer than that. Did he? He got the assist taken off him last night. So last night he had got two, and he got six the game before because he came on and got a goal, okay, so but only eight. Got 20 minutes. So he got eight.
Yeah. Okay.
I was happy with that.
Some although points up on that.
I was close to going Diaz out to Havertz. So I was either selling Havertz or Foden, and I know I'm good. My plan was always if I sell Foden, bring him back for game week 38 for Havertz. Especially now I know Havertz way off the starting 11. So I guess I make that transfer in 38. Foden back. The first return I've missed out on Foden all season was this game week, mate. First return I missed out on. Unbelievable.
Off the bench as well.
And look, the only reason I sold Foden was I knew he wasn't playing that first game. And I thought the Newcastle game was nice. And I thought the Wolves game away at Molineux might be a low scoring one. So I kind of went, he'll get one start whilst Diaz could get two. It was that simple, right? And Diaz got two. So I was delighted with that. But yeah, I mean, look, Man City attack, I tweeted last night. This is why I always bang on about it in these streams. The amount of times I get questioned on my Foden pick or my Man City attack pick, whenever that was earlier this season, I just always say they are the team with the highest ceiling by a country mile. In any given game, they can go big and you want a piece of that. The trickiest thing with Man City attack is you're playing Pep Roulette with one of six players or seven or eight players even that could go big. When you go big on Liverpool attack, you know it's coming from one of three guys. It's a fairly safe bet that you go Salah or you go Mane or you go Diaz. When you go big on a City asset, you don't even know if they're going to play. But if they do play and you can predict the X-Mins, that's why X-Mins is so bloody important. Because with teams like Man City, when you know who's playing and they scored 10 goals in this double game week, Kaz, yet many of us didn't have City attack. Seems ludicrous, right?
Well. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's go through City quickly in this double game. Okay, so Cancelo got 14. I think most people had him anyway. Laporte got 14 as well. I mean, his goal was ridiculous, like absolutely ridiculous. I'm still annoyed about that. You know, Dubravka fumbles a shot from Diaz and Laporte stabs it home. Very annoying. Diaz, if you went Diaz, you're going to be fuming. You got 4 points, went off at 45 minutes. You're not going to go anywhere else. Let's have a look at some of the other players. I mean, Bernardo Silva, you mentioned him maybe the last stream or the one before.
He was the only Man City midfielder I could afford, and I was like, he's just not a sexy pick.
Well, he comes away with 5 points. Foden comes away with 8. Mahrez, who I thought was an awesome pick this week, 1 point, 13 minutes across both games. Jesus, most bought player, I think. All this 2 points for him. I mean, then you're looking at Sterling. I mean, Sterling getting 28 points. I mean, did you see that coming? I didn't see that coming. I didn't see him starting. I didn't see him. He played 90 in both. 4 consecutive starts for him now. But, I mean, we've got to talk about De Bruyne because, I mean,
yeah, and we discussed it, didn't we? You actually said to me, because my team was well set, I didn't know what transfer to make. And we actually said, like, I might even roll it. Like, I couldn't roll it because it's free hit. If I didn't have a free hit, I definitely would have rolled. And one thing we discussed was, do you take a 4-point hit, take Kane out, go Richarlison, and then upgrade to get KDB in?
Yeah.
And we discussed it. And you said, if I was you, Gianni, that's the move I'd make. And I said, I love the idea, but I don't want to be taking a hit to sell Kane. That was all it was. If I was on wild card or if I was on free hit, or even if I had the 2 free transfers, KDB was coming in, but I was nowhere near it because I said on this very stream, I'm not selling Kane for a 4-point hit.
I wanted to do it, but I couldn't afford it. I could have. I was looking at Kane and Barnes to De Bruyne and Richarlison, but I was like 0.3 or 0.4 out. So then it would have been a -8. And I was like, when you're getting into like -8 territory, that would have been selling Robertson for Laporte, which would have all been amazing. It would have got me I would have captained De Bruyne as well. So I would have, God knows how many points have been up, like 70 points, something like that, if I'd done it. But I didn't really want to lose Robertson. The -8 seemed like a lot. In the end, I prioritised getting rid of Barnes for Gordon and did Adams up to Richarlison. It's a double Everton attack. Nightmare. Absolutely
nightmare.
And you
say you would have captained KDB, and I said the same. I was like, if I bring KDB in this week, I'm captaining him. And I told everyone like on various streams, like KDB is a brilliant captaincy option. If I don't KDB, I was not going to lie, I'm not sure I would have had the minerals. I think I would have looked at Salah's two fixtures. I would have been, knowing he had had the rest previously, knowing loads were triple captaining Salah, I think I still would have gone Salah. So yeah, it's rubbish. I lost out on 30 points, but I don't think I lost out on 60.
No, that's good. I would definitely, I wasn't too convinced about Salah. I thought with the Spurs game and then the Villa game near the FA Cup, I didn't think he'd be rested. I thought he'd play both. But I did wonder how many points he could get. And I thought De Bruyne's ceiling would be higher, but it was just so much surgery was needed. And if people could move for him easy, it was a pretty easy move. It was a horrible watch last night. And I look at my team and I don't even think it's that bad, but...
Yeah, no, I'm the same. Like, I looked at my team and I went, do you know what? I'm actually happy with my team and I'm happy with the sort of points some of my players have returned. It was just Foster and KDB. Like, and we're having these weeks, aren't we? Like, non-Son owners, you and I, can both relate to that. We've had a lot of pain from rank losses just because of Son. And we had it last night with KDB and Foster. Foster, as if we're talking about Foster. But it did. Oh. Really made a massive difference. And Nketiah, to be fair, because they're two bench boost players.
Crazy. And like Pickford as well. I mean, Pickford with 12. And, you know, Ramsdale conceding that goal to Leeds, you know, when they got 10 men, didn't have one shot, I think, in the whole match. And Ramsdale was in. I mean, it was
that was my move, wasn't it? My other option was the goalkeeper transfer, and it was Ramsdale out to Pickford or Schmeichel, which would have been net up massively. But because Schmeichel obviously got the Kleeno as well, but Kleeno, people hate it when I say
Kleeno.
That. Kleeno.
I've got used to it now. I've got used to all your little mannerisms doing all these streams every week. It was a brutal week for you, though. I mean, 68 doesn't seem awful. I mean, you know, when you've got like James and Cancelo and Diaz in there, but I mean, you went from 13K right the way down to 27. So
that's my biggest red of the season, probably.
Yeah, massive. I mean, top 10K. I mean, you've got the free hit to play to talk about. Yeah, it's going to be tough, I think.
It's done. I think it's done. It might, do you know, it might not be done because of my captain choice for game week 37. That's the only thing that can save me. If I go to, I mean, we'll talk about it coming up, but if I go for, say, an Aston Villa forward, when everyone else is probably going to go Son or Richarlison, and I go Danny Ings, that could save me.
Yep. Well, let's look at your free hit team.
Slim pickings. It's not, that's far from being a banker, is it? I'm talking about captaining Danny Ings, for God's sake. Well, but I am almost of the mindset I may as well have a bit of fun with it now, because I couldn't give a monkeys if I finish at 49K or 16K. Like, yeah. I want to get in the top 10K. And I've been talking about this for the last 2 months, where I've been at 12, at 13, at 11. It's all about that for me now. So I don't mind if I finish at 50. If I've had a good stab at getting in the top 10K by going rogue, I'm up for that. I'm here for that.
I'll remind you of that, game week 38. your three teams on the screen. It's Pickford in goal. It's Dean, Mikolenko, Cancelo, De Bruyne, Zaha, Son, Jota, Danny Ings, captain, along with the slightly injured Watkins and Harry Kane. So double Spurs, De Bruyne is in, Jota over Salah. And then, you know, the kind of the differential picks in Ings, Watkins, Zaha, Dean, that you've kind of got to pick if you're going for the free hit this week. I mean, no Salah's the obvious omission here. What's the thinking beyond that?
Yeah, like I think he probably starts. Like, he's had so many rests. But I was looking at the Liverpool fixture. I put this together this morning, right? I can either have Salah or Kane. And it might be Salah instead of Kane. I don't know if I'm going Harry Kane until I watch Spurs play Thursday night. And if Spurs are out of the top four race and play poorly against Arsenal and Arsenal win, Kane's probably more likely to come out unless he hits the woodwork three times. So with that in mind, that would change everything. But if I go without Salah, I do want to cover Liverpool attack. Now, that could be in the form of Robbo or Trent or Jota or Diaz. Same sort of price, all those players, which is crazy to think. Two of them are defenders, but they're not. And Jota, I don't think he's going to start the cup final. Look, we all know the cup final front three is Mane, Diaz and Salah, right? Knowing the fixtures, Liverpool play Tuesday away at Southampton. Pretty sure it's Tuesday. The cup could go to extra time and pens. We saw it did in the League Cup between those two teams. And regardless of how, if that game goes the distance or not, I think Jota comes in because it's an away game. Then at the weekend, the last game of the season at Anfield, game week 38, to wish them all well. We've not won the league, guys, but we've got a Champions League final in 7 days, 6 days. And I want to play my full strength 11. One, it's the Anfield crowd. Two, I want a big performance because it's a week before the Champions League final. Three, I want these players clicking as an 11 6 days before they play Real Madrid. So there's going to be a couple of players rested on the Tuesday with that in mind. You don't want to risk a player's injury on a pointless away game at Southampton. I say pointless because it looks pretty wrapped up now, doesn't it?
I was going to say, so you think that's what Klopp's going to look at this as? He's going to look at it.
I think it's done. Klopp conceded that by playing Tsimikas and dropping Salah last time out. He needs to win and he wants to win. Of course he does. But after they dropped points to Spurs, I think it was very evident the priority has gone to FA Cup and Champions League. Otherwise, why the hell do you rest Salah midweek? Had a rest as well, unless there's an injury we don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to me to be a kind of a tactical decision rather than a resting one. Tactical in terms of A, either he hasn't been playing that well and he's kind of taking him out the firing line a bit, or B, he's literally just wants him to play in that cup final. But it was surprising because Diaz is almost kind of, Diaz and Mane have gone up a gear really, and Salah has dropped down a bit. Underlying numbers are still good, still sort of creating chances, but just snatching at chances a little bit, making the wrong decisions, making the wrong ball every now and then. Diaz is some player. It's be nice to have him coming back, wouldn't it, in game week 38.
I can't wait to have Diaz in game week 38 because, again, that's one I'm confident he starts at. When Liverpool are attacking at the moment, no matter where Diaz is on the football pitch, in years gone by, we see those attacks coming through often through Trent and Robbo. But when they come through the midfield, you see Hendo or you see Thiago or Fabinho looking up and always giving the ball out to Salah on the right. Now you watch those midfielders, they're looking left as much as right because they're looking for Diaz, which they never really did with Mane, not to the same level. Like the amount of outballs Salah would receive. Now Diaz, in terms of the eye test, like he is carrying. He is the main man in that Liverpool front three at the moment. I'm not saying there's more of a priority for him over Salah. In terms of performance, he's performing better than any other front three player, isn't he? He's stepped up.
Yeah.
So I love him, and I could go him in 37, but I just wonder if that cup final, that we're picking this team before we know about the cup final, that could go 120 minutes. Fear of injury, players red zone, Southampton away, give a few guys a rest. I think we might see a little bit of rotation. Like, could Trent miss Tuesday? Trent was in my free hit draft. I'm not confident he starts on Tuesday against Southampton now, knowing what we've seen with Salah and knowing what we've seen with Robbo. So maybe I go Robbo instead of Jota. Maybe I go Diaz instead of Jota. But again, I just feel like Jota's a nice little differential for 1 week. Because Southampton's a lovely team to be playing against. Rubbish at the back. Going without Salah does sound really bold. And look, maybe it's Salah and Kane comes out and Richarlison goes in. That would be my move. It'd be Richarlison in for Kane, Salah in for Jota.
Because some of the players that I'm missing really. Obviously, we've talked about Salah. Richarlison or Gordon. You've got Gordon on your bench. I mean, Gordon is pain.
he doesn't get many big opportunities. Watched the last few Everton games, and even the game before last, he had zero shots. Like, he's super advanced, and we like the set piece threat, but he's not going to clock up numbers, I don't think. I'm surprised the masses have all gone towards him this game. He can their 11s.
Yep. No love Everton, for like
Everton
Vardy.
Everton don't create much.
Vardy, Madison.
I looked at Madison. He was in a draft I put together this morning. He would be the only Leicester. Vardy's too expensive, knowing he might only start one of the games. Mads, I think, starts both. And Chelsea isn't a great game. It's not a tough one either at the moment. So, yeah, a bit of consideration for Maddison, who was super advanced last night. They played with a back four, and it was, Maddison was the second most advanced player on the pitch after Vardy. He was as advanced as Barnes. And Dewsbury Hall, surprisingly. The three of them. I don't think I can squeeze Maddison in. It's Maddison or Zaha, and I prefer Zaha.
Well, it would be dropping one of the Villa forwards, I guess.
Yeah, although I really like that differential. Richarlison's the bigger mission, I guess, as a lot of people on free hit will be captaining Richarlison.
Yeah,
a lot of people not on free hit will be captaining Richarlison, I think. But
what can possibly go wrong with that?
Yeah, I'm just a bit underwhelmed by Everton attack. I much prefer their defence. So maybe Richarlison comes in. If Kane goes, Richarlison does come in, and maybe I do consider captaincy on him. But at the moment, I much prefer captaincy on a Villa forward over Richarlison. And with that in mind, I'm like, maybe I can go without Richarlison and go Milenko and Pickford. as double defense.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, two questions is, one, would you do, I mean, because Mina's out, right? Or is very likely going to be out. He's been, yeah. Colossus, Keane's come back in. Okay, they've got a clean sheet, but it's Keane. He hasn't exactly had the best season. I think he's far a hell of a lot of confidence. But you've gone double Everton defence. So that's my first question. Second question is, say Watkins is a doubt, or he's going to miss one. Do you think that makes Ings a better option or a worse option? Because Ings likes to play with this kind of busy forward up front with him. He's a bit like Ronaldo, a bit like, you know, having Shane Long where he was at Southampton. Never thought I'd be using those two in the same sentence, but there is. I can't work out if Ings is being more nailed on with Watkins potentially out makes him a great option, or if his output might dip a bit, because his stats are brilliant.
Are they? Yeah. Danny Ings against Liverpool was super good. Like, you watched Liverpool that game and Ings got more chances than Watkins. I don't know the numbers, but we forget Watkins wasn't always a forward, right? Watkins played at Exeter and at Brentford as a wide left player. So sure, he likes playing number nine now for Villa and he sees that's where his future, but naturally he tends to drift wide a lot. Danny Ings is a poacher. Danny Ings is a better finisher than Watkins as well, right? If you give these guys three chances in a game, you expect Ings to score two. You can't even guarantee Watkins to score one. Like, the guy we all remember last season with Watkins in his finishing. So whilst I want them both in my team, I actually think I prefer Ings. The only concern is X minutes. Ings never plays 90. I think against Liverpool was the first time he had played 90 in God knows how long. And there is a slight concern that in one of those football matches, he fancies Coutinho and Buendia and goes, I'm going to just play them both with Watkins. Like, we know Watkins is the main man, Gerrard's mind. But the two forwards works well. Like, whether or not Watkins is fit, I think I'd want Ings in my team. If Watkins, if I don't go with one of them or I don't go with Kane, it allows Richarlison in. And then if I do that, I can probably take Milenko out and go for Cash as well as Dean. So I go for the fullbacks, which I do like. I do like Cash and Dean. But again, I don't know how much I trust Villa to keep clean sheets. I do like the attacking output of both those fullbacks, though.
Yeah. Luke sent me something interesting earlier, which is Villa in their different formations. So Villa under Gerrard mostly used a 4-3-3. 0.85 expected goals a game when they play that. 4-3-1-2, 19%. 1.04 XG. So that's with the two up top. That's with your Watkins and your Ings. So that is effectively only 90% use, but for smaller sample size. But it's the
which is what they played against Liverpool, isn't it? 3-4-1-2, and the game before that. Yeah,
it's their most kind of effective. If they do switch to a 4-3-2-1, though, maybe Watkins is out and they go with Buendia and Coutinho behind. 10% use under Gerrard. So again, really small sample size, but that XG drops to 0.56. So basically, the two systems in which Watkins plays, if he plays on the left or if he plays up front with Ings, normally means more chances and a better XG for Villa. So I do think if Watkins is out, then it does impact on Ings. But I still think I would go for Ings as captain over Richarlison if I had both. The player I really like, though, is Zaha, who you've got in the midfield. He's got to be a temptation, isn't he?
Yeah, he has. Just before I give you some spiel on Zaha, I just wanted to ask one quick question. Those three formations from Villa, the second one, which is the one that you've been using in the last few games, what percentage of the time have they used that?
19.
Okay, so it's not... And one of those games was against Liverpool, the best defence in the league. Second, So, okay, that's good to know. And the XG was over one.
Yep, 1.04, I think.
Interesting.
Yep.
Who said I don't like stats? Listen
I
to
know.
Me.
I don't normally bust them out on this stream.
No.
I thought that was from Luke. He sent that over just a little while ago. So I thought
Do you know what? I like them. I just need someone telling me them. I love being spoon-fed these stats, Az. So keep spoon-feeding away.
I'll try to do that more for you next year.
Zaha, I love the penalty appeal. I love the way Palace are attacking at the moment. I love Elise in the team. Elise and Zaha link so well from one side to the other. And last time out, we saw Elise get the assist for the Zaha penalty. So please don't pick Jordan Ayew Vieira. Elise was in one of my free hit teams But I just don't know if he's going to start both, because he seems to pick Jordan Ayew a lot in that Elise spot. But yeah, look, Zaha is obviously the main man. Also, he's playing for a move this summer. Like always at the end of the season, we like Zaha because he's either playing for a new contract playing or playing for a transfer. So, you know, it's win-win. And I think he definitely leaves this summer. I think Palace need to cash in on him, because I think I don't think he's got a huge amount of time left on his contract, maybe a year or 18 months or something. So I can see him going somewhere like Dortmund, like, you know, with some of that Haaland money. But wherever he goes, whatever he does, he's going to want to go out with a bang. If he goes at all, because we say this every summer and he stays. But yeah, Zaha's nailed in that free hit team. And I think that's one of the main advantages those that are on a free hit have got this week. Like, those that aren't on a free hit have perhaps already got some Everton players. They might already have Watkins. They might already have Richarlison. They might already have a Schmeichel or a Pickford. But what they probably haven't got is Zaha.
Yeah.
It's quite nice.
Absolutely no.
Can't get to Zaha easily either.
It's tricky to get to Zaha when your midfield is stats, because unless you're selling Saka or Kulusevski, for example, then you can do it. But I mean, you're not going to sell Kulusevski ahead of Burnley and Norwich. I mean, Saka is a bit of an injury doubt, but I still am expecting him to start tonight. If he is out of tonight though, then that becomes quite an easy sale. I think for a lot of people, we'll move to Zaha. The other good thing about the free hit, though, is you're loading up on these players, a lot of these players. Like, you're loading up on Villa players, free Villa, you know, Everton, if you know, say you did have Richarlison in, and then you're not stuck with them in 38, because, you know, you buy in Ings, you buy in, you know, Richarlison, and then suddenly they're away at Arsenal in Everton's case, or, yeah, Villa are, you know. So your team's going to come back to what we talked about before, which is your triple Chelsea at home to Watford. You've got your double Spurs in place anyway. Triple Liverpool, yeah. So I think you're gonna come to your 38 team, and it won't be like sometimes when you free hit and you're like, oh no, I don't want all my dross back. You're gonna get back in your good guys.
Yeah, that's the beauty of that free hit 37, which is why I like the plan so much. But I mean, I still don't think I'm gonna get top 10K. It sounds amazing, but you need one of your players.
Come on, we can do it.
You need one of those players to go big, and I don't think I've got a KDB style performance in my team, because if I do, it's not on someone that's 30% owned, and it's certainly not on someone that I've captained that no one else has, I don't think, which is why I'm like, oh, Captain Ings or Captain... If Watkins is fit, maybe I captain Watkins, because I think he gets 180 in terms of minutes, and I like I said, Ings rarely plays 90. But it's there to be won. And I do think captaincy this week's a really interesting dilemma, because I know loads are going with Richarlison, but Brentford defence, Crystal Palace defence, they're good teams. How many goals do Everton score? They win 1-0 when they win, right? So I think the ceiling is quite low on Richarlison. And I think Villa are a little bit more free-flowing. We've just heard some of those
tough
numbers.
Tough games, you know, as well, don't forget. Brentford have been brilliant lately. Rest as well. Palace are the fourth best defensive team over the season in terms of expected goals, you know, per 90. So... Right. They're not going to find it easy to score against either of those two teams, I think. I'm not...
Agreed.
I've got Richarlison. I'm not overly...
You're not looking at captaincy?
Well, I am, but only...
Only because you used one of your few double game weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not because... I think I would be going Zaha or Ings, I think, over Richarlison if I had.
Yeah, which begs the question, if you don't have those players and you are faced with a Richarlison captaincy option, do you then... take a hit if needed to bring in a better captaincy player like a Zaha, which you could reverse next week. You could go Kulu or Saka to Zaha and then back again. I know that's two transfers, but if you're captaining a player, I don't mind the hits. If you're not, I tend not to.
I think that was my problem last week, is that given that I wasn't entirely sure about Salah and I didn't have any other real options I was considering captaining, I settled and I should have pushed and gone for it. That's, you know, that's where the kind of, it's easy to say that. I mean, De Bruyne gets four goals against bloody Wolves. I mean, I just didn't see that coming. I thought he'd do well. I thought, you know, he could easily hit double digits, but I didn't think he'd get 30 points. Not for a second. It's an absolutely...
We should talk about
turn.
De Bruyne as with this week in mind, because it looks like I'm chasing last week's points, putting him in. But remember, I'm on a free hit, so I may as well. But for me, it's like City can win the title.
Yeah. I think you have to have him in after that. I mean, he was just absolutely ridiculous. And
man-possessed. And he's looked like a man-possessed for a few weeks.
Yeah, I think West Ham's interesting because, you know, now the kind of European commitments are out of the way, are they going to tighten up? But, you know, with their centre-backs injured, they've still been quite a leaky defence all season. It's not like they're playing like a kind of a top six defence, by the numbers. They're playing a team that can ship goals. So I think I still think they get two or three in that game against West Ham. And end up winning it. So I
and they win the, they pretty much win the league if they do, right? Like it goes down to it would go down to goal difference. So their goal difference is so good on top of Liverpool's that should they beat West Ham, they don't technically win the league because they could lose on the final day and Liverpool could win 10-0 on the final day. But they beat West Ham and pretty much the title's wrapped up for them to then lift it at the Etihad on the last day.
Well, it's the only kind of reason why I might be tempted to go hard for Liverpool, like Salah or someone. Because there's seven goal differences plus seven to Man City over Liverpool at the moment. Southampton are capable of shipping more than seven goals in that game. Let's be honest. Yeah. So, you know, a nervy 1-0, you know, 1-0 win for City against West Ham and, you know, or a 1-1 or something. Maybe they're the points of drop. Because, I mean, I can't see Villa away at the Etihad getting anything from that. I think this West Ham game is probably Liverpool's best chance of City dropping points. If that is a 1-1 and Liverpool, you know, go into that and beat Southampton 5-0 or 6-0, then it gets interesting. The final day becomes very interesting.
It does. And Liverpool have got the beauty of seeing what that City result is, right? So that City game against West Ham takes place 3 days before Liverpool play. So if City do lose 1-0 to West Ham and they go, we can win the league here on goal difference against Southampton, you want Salah in your team, of course. But I can't see City lose. Goal difference only comes into play if City lose one of these two football matches. They're not losing at home to Villa. Could they lose away to West Ham? Yeah, but at the same time, they could win 5-0 as well.
So. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if City go to West Ham and score three goals, then it's over. That's pretty much it. But yeah, they'll be hoping that West Ham can do something about that. One team we haven't mentioned, I just want to throw them out there, and I know you'll probably say no. I do quite like the look of Brighton this week against Leeds. Because Leeds have just completely fallen apart. Two red cards now in two games. They are shipping tons of goals. They've got key injuries. They've got bans, suspensions, everything. Brighton are in great form. We're better away from home than we are at home. Trossard is finally delivering on some promise. It's hard to know how I'd fit him into your free hit team, you know, as it is. But, you know, it's 5.8, 2% owned. 17 points against United, 8 against Wolves, 7 against Southampton, 11 against Spurs, 8 against Arsenal. He's returning big hauls now in 5 of his last starts.
The only single game week teams I'm looking to touch on is Liverpool, City and Spurs. Like I'm not considering Chelsea. I'm not considering Brighton. Even Wolves play Norwich at home. Like I could, you know, I punt on Neto. How cool would that be if they go beat Norwich 5-0? But I'm just not going there for teams that I can't fully trust. And I can't fully trust Brighton as good as they've been recently. I certainly can't even trust Wolves, even though it's Norwich. I can't trust Chelsea like against Leicester either. So the teams I think I can trust is I can trust that Liverpool are going to score goals against Southampton, that City will score goals against West Ham, and that Spurs will definitely score goals against Burnley if they're still in the top four race, which is why tonight's game is so important. So I'm only looking at those three clubs for my single game weekers. And look, on a free hit, ideally, I have more than six double game week players. Mm. I think I'm on five and six split. But those teams are so good that I have to cover some of their players, City, Liverpool, Spurs. So, I won't be losing any more doublers for the likes of Brighton, I'm afraid.
Yeah, fair enough. Just what I mentioned him. I mean, I've just had the worst game week of my life. And my transfer this week could be Hwang to Welbeck. So
interesting. So you need a forward that's under 6 million ish to use. What you got? Like, yeah,
pretty much.
Are you bench boosting?
Yeah. My bench boost currently is Dubravka, Hwang, Roberts, and Bruno Guimaraes. That's 10 points.
And you know, Hwang is getting 10 minutes off the bench, isn't he? So you want someone, you want a starter for Hwang.
I do want a starter for Wang. Exactly. That sounds so wrong out of context. Or even in context.
Imagine if Wang comes off the bench with his 10-minute cameo and scores a couple because Norwich already dead and buried at 4-0.
I know. I do wonder as well if he could actually start that game because, you know, he's been playing Neto, taking him off early because he's still kind of recovering from injury. Maybe he does start Wang, but...
Neto's so good though. The fact that Neto's only getting 60-70 means he should be okay to keep starting.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I think The biggest problem with what I've done over the last few weeks is I've done exactly what I said I wouldn't do. And that was
take
pay
transfers
too much,
for benches and stuff.
Paid too much focus on this bench boost. And,
yeah,
you know, it was the reason why I wanted to get Che Adams out, because I can't bench boost him next week. So I have to make that striker spot a priority and get Richarlison. Well, if I want Richarlison, I've got to downgrade someone else. So rather than upgrading to the likes of De Bruyne or things, you know, I was focusing on that kind of spot. And yeah, it's just been, yeah, it's been a nightmare. I hate the bench boost chip so much. I just can't put into words how much I hate that chip.
As I've just seen, there's 664 people watching. That's awesome. Amazing. Considering last night, like maybe they want my misery on not owning KDB or having Foster in my 11. But guys, from all of you, disgraceful. There's 600 of you that haven't given us a thumbs up. Come on, guys, hit that like button. Sort us out. More people see the page. It's all part of the plan.
Algorithms. The algorithms like it.
There's this thing called an algorithm, apparently. And like, if you comment and you like and subscribe, more people see the video, and that's good for the channel, and that's good for me. So I don't understand it, but it's a thing.
Well, it's contract renewal time at the end of the season. So, you know, if you want to see more of Jani, you need to like the video, because that is key part. I go through the likes. And I go, well, he's been dropping. He only had 30 on that one. Let's get a new one in. Let's get Ed on. Let's get Ed team reveal.
God, imagine. Guys, let us know in the comments as well if you do like these team reveals. Vids for next season, or if you want someone new, like if you do. I've been doing this for a couple of seasons.
God,
now,
don't encourage that.
I'll end on that note.
If you want to see less of me, let me know. Like it. Excellent stuff, Jani. It's a pleasure as always. We've only got one more of these. I do genuinely enjoy these. Can't believe we've done 30. We probably missed a couple because when it was all crazy period over Christmas, but we've probably done about 30 of these, haven't we, this season? So
yeah, there was a couple we did two a week, didn't we, because around Christmas at times when we had like the midweek stuff. So I reckon we've done it. Yeah. I reckon we have done probably average one a game week, because even in the international breaks with them, honestly, mate, one of my favorite times of the week. And I of course want to be back here next season chatting to you, because like it's good chat. It's hopefully very easy to listen to. It's just our opinions on stuff. You get to see some of my nightmares and some of my small wins. And look, hopefully you're going to see a huge free hit rank increase. Yes. And then game week 38, if I need to go big with rogue shouts to try and have a 10K push, I might. I do think it's probably out of the question. I've got like a couple 5% chance of hitting the top 10K now, even with a chip in hand. But I'm still playing
for
it.
Who can I talk you into in game week 38? That's what I want to know.
Not Trossard.
You're watching bang now. Excellent stuff. Thank you so much. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. We'll be back next week for the final Gianni team selection.